Morning, everybody. It's really nice to be here again, and despite what Ken was referring to about the 65-degree weather temperature difference that I may have experienced on a couple of occasions in the last 3 weeks, it's still been really nice to be here.
Warm hugs.
Yeah, thanks. Really warm ones. It's really been nice to be back. It's been a really quiet trip, which was really exactly what I needed, and I was just so thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness in allowing it to happen, and some good friends that kind of gave me a bit of a go, Lori, that I really needed. So, yeah, our time is coming to an end here really, really soon. We fly out Tuesday afternoon, but I just wanted to take some time this morning to connect with you guys, kind of update you on what we're doing in Haiti, on our family in Haiti. Lots of stuff has happened this last year, but just kind of give you a brief overview of everything. So, oh, this is perfect. I'm just going to put this here so I can see this, and that's great. Okay, so this is our family, and you're probably looking at the picture and saying, wait a minute, the postcard on my fridge only has 5 people on it. You probably have this one, and it has 5 people on it. Well, this year in June, Cedric's oldest brother passed away really suddenly, and 3 of his kids came to stay with us. We knew the twins, and you can go to the next picture. The twins are in the black pants and the jeans. Cedric's not the one of the twins, the other one. We knew the twins already. Nidalee, who has the white headband, she is our niece also, and she's been living with us for almost 6 years. All these kids are Nidalee's full siblings. So we knew the twins from before. They had lived with Grandma and Grandpa in town off and on a little bit in the last few years since we've been married. And Shama, who has the pink flower in her hair, we had never met her before. We knew of her, but we hadn't met her before. She had been living in the Dominican for some of that time, and then she had moved to live with some family friends in another part of Haiti quite far away. So when Samuel passed away in June, the kids just kind of ended up at our house kind of before the funeral and following the funeral. And it became apparent to me really quite quickly that there was going to be something big happening in our family. and the reason that I realized that was because a couple weeks after the funeral, Cedric and I sat down and we said, okay, so what are we doing with these kids? And as we were talking through it all, we were just like, I think we are doing these kids. it was really a very astounding, I think, is the right word that I would use. Realization to realize every time. Anyways, that's me ready to go into emotional wah-wah. For me to realize that I really realized how quickly I had come to love these kids and how I became like a mama bear when we started talking about what the options were for these kids. And nothing was good enough. And yeah. it just amazed me to realize that we had spent 6 years taking care of Nidalee. Oh, I didn't bring any Kleenex. And we had taken 6 years taking care of Nidalee, and thank you. And trying to get through her paperwork and figure out how to get her able to travel with us and, like, hit wall after wall after wall. Karen, there's only, like, 2 in here. and realized that there was this fairly big chance that God had actually been using that time with Natalie and our family, with never being able to move forward and wondering, are we doing the right thing? And is this God's plan for Natalie and our family? To prepare my heart to pretty much love those kids a lot the minute they walked in our door. because they were a part of Nidalee's family, and Nidalee was a part of ours. So, I haven't really talked about this in front of people before, so anyways. Okay, so anyways, that's what happened in our family this June, and so that's why this picture has so many people in it. And so we've been working through a lot of things, trying to figure out what the best plan is for these kids. Their mom is still alive, and she has a lot of quite big issues that unfortunately interfere with her ability to take care of her children, as well as her ability to make any significant decisions about their current situation or their future. So I'll talk about that a little bit more later, just with some specific things that you can pray for. Oh, funny. Okay. That you can pray for about that kind of along with us, specifically in regards to our family. Okay, go ahead, Rebecca. So these are just kind of some pictures of us. If you don't know, I guess I should say that, hey, because I don't know all of you. This is my husband, Sadrak, and I, and we live and work in Haiti full-time. We work with Haiti Children's Home. I'm the administrator there, which is a very general term for wearing lots of hats and trying to figure out life for 45 kids that we take care of, along with a really great big staff. You can keep going. And these are just some pictures of our kids. That's Nidalee and Rose. And that's me with the two oldest. So Sham is our new oldest, actually. She just turned 14 in December. That's her with the purple flower. And then Nidalee will be 13 in February. We actually had now. That's our growing to learn more about hair has happening much lately. Thankfully, I had two heads to be practicing on before I got two more heads, so I've become quite proficient. But Shama has more hair than most anybody I've ever met in Haiti, so keep going. She'll be really mad if she knows I showed you that picture, but I love it. And this is Tobias. This is just, I don't know if you can see the faces really well, but everybody always wants to do Tobias's hair, and he doesn't want them to do it, but one day he went through, and it, like, we had to capture all of it. So you can keep going. We were really fortunate to have a couple from Kelowna come and work with us at HCH for about a year and a half. I know at one time, probably a couple times ago when I shared, we had just shared about our need for some more staff, North American staff, to come and work with us to help work with the administration of the orphanage, the whole running end of things. It's a pretty big load. And so this family came. And so they have the girls with the black t-shirt and the ponytail and the blue hair. They adopted from Haiti, and they also have two other children. And so they actually just ended up going back to Kelowna in December. They're hoping to come back probably in about a year and a half. But God was just so faithful with his timing of things. And I've really, really seen that this year. The people he has sent along to come and help us, their skill sets, their abilities, their attention to what is happening, and their ability to build on relationships, which is the number one thing in Haiti, were just, it was amazing to see. I can keep going ahead. I'm going to watch my time here. This is my new favorite picture of Haiti. It just really captures Haiti, the busyness and the vividness and the color of everything. My friend Yvonne took this picture. Lots to show and talk about Haiti, but never have enough time in 30 minutes, so just wanted to throw that one in there. Yep, we can keep going. So just talk a little bit about the orphanage really quickly here. This is a group of the biggest kids with a few of the smaller guys we took on a field trip this year to see the Haiti National History Museum. So that's where we are right now. That's a picture of them. So we take care of about 45 kids. You can keep going through these, I think. They range in age from 18 months to, well, I'm going to say 16 years, except our 16-year-old got his visa this week. He's being adopted by a family from southern Alberta. This is our oldest now. This is Golson, and he's 12. You can kind of keep going through, Rebecca. Okay, just a quick, I know lots of you guys had written and asked about how we were doing with the hurricanes this year. We had, like, some really big whoppers coming our way, and lots of people were praying really fervently because the South was still recovering from Hurricane Matthew the last season before that. And then, like, as crazy as it is, Haiti is still recovering from the earthquake. Haiti just gets a lot of really challenging things that come their way. So it was amazing to see, like, this storm especially that was coming, like, straight for us, just kind of go north. And it was a really crazy thing to be praying so fervently for the storm to turn north, but also praying so fervently for it not to hit anybody else, which it did. So, you know, it was amazing to see that happen, and it also made me wonder, okay, Lord, thank you, but why? Those kind of things. So we had lots of discussions about that because everybody was really aware of what was going on. So thank you for praying for that. It was just a really weird thing to ask, can you make the storm turn north, please? Knowing that there's people up there, but God was very merciful to Haiti, and we're just thankful to see the rebuilding and work that's happening in another country that can do it a lot faster than Haiti. Yeah, you can go, keep going. This is, again, back to the boys. This is a group of our oldest boys, and you can keep going through these ones. The littlest guys, or some of them not so little anymore. We have smaller ones now. Let's keep going. I'll stop here for a little second. This little boy's name is John. And over the last 6 months or so, I've been wondering what God's plans are for the orphanage. Mostly because things are changing a lot with adoptions. We're starting to lose more and more control over who our children are matched with as far as adoptions go. And so we have concerns about our children not being adopted by Christian families and things like that. And in the last few months, God has started to send more children our way that we haven't really generally cared for long periods of time anyways. And then in October, God sent us John. And John was abandoned at a nearby hospital, and Haitian Social Services brought him to us. And they do what they do because they know that we love it. They just show up. And they say, hey, Madam Laura, we brought somebody for you. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Because they know I hate it when they don't call first, but they know when they show up with somebody, what am I going to say? No. So they showed up with this little guy named John. And so we sent him to the hospital for lab work and all that stuff that we do. And we found out that John is HIV positive. And so we had to kind of stop and sit down and chat quickly together and be like, okay, what are we doing? Our staff aren't trained, our staff aren't educated, there's tons of stigma in Haiti about HIV. We know what's going to be the long-time plan for him. Is this child's family going to be found? So many things to be talking about. So in the meantime, the decision was made that John would stay at our house. And so that's what happened. And so this is John when he came. He has some other developmental things that we're not totally sure about yet. Like he has no tone, although he's getting stronger now, so that's changing. But he's really floppy kind of a guy. You can go to the next picture. But with God's faithfulness and some good medication and lots of TLC, this is John at Christmas. Just a couple of months later. And God has been so faithful. There's actually a family living in Port-au-Prince, the United States, that we're working on a file to adopt two HIV-positive children. And they found out about John, and they contacted me. So John actually spent Christmas with them while I was away for 3 weeks. And so it's just been neat to see God's faithfulness with John, especially, and how I really didn't have to do much of anything, and it seemed like God was just like, here's my plan for John, Lori. But also made me wonder, okay, we've been getting more children with HIV in our nutrition program, doing a lot more educating with families, with communities, and just wondering if this is what God is, like, God is bringing this to us. God is bringing children with HIV. God is bringing families with HIV. So I just ask you to pray with us as we look at that and figure out if this is God's plan for HCH or a part of HCH, what that should look like, how that should look, if that's what's supposed to be happening. It's a new world for lots of our staff, lots and lots of stigma to overcome, which is the hard thing for me, is how to get everybody past that. So if you could pray along with us. You can keep going. Just more pictures of the kids. The day-to-day life, making sure everybody's being taken care of and they have what they need. That's kind of what my role has evolved into. If you don't know already, we moved from a big institutional-style, big building to a family-style compound. So we have a few houses, and right now we have 3 houses that have house parents in them, and they have anywhere from 6 to 10 kids, and they live in a family. And the change that we have seen in the kids has been remarkable. I think I've said that before. And just as time goes by, we're just amazed at why we didn't do this before. It's not short of its challenges. How Haitian people raise children and how North American-minded people raise children are very different. I can say that because I'm married to a Haitian, so I know. But it's amazing to see them really coming alongside and really wanting the best for their children, really investing so much, really giving up so much of their life to invest into these children. And sometimes I know when I'm frustrated when something isn't happening quite the way I like to see it, I have to remind myself of what they've given up to be a part of this. They've left their homes, they left their families, they live on site with us 24/7, and invest their lives into loving these children. And because of the age of our kids, more and more of them are getting older. We know that they're going to be growing up in Haiti. I was speaking about that last time I was here, just teaching them how to be a Haitian in Haiti outside of our compound and how to love the Lord in Haiti. Because it is different. It is different. Okay, we keep going. This is one of our house families. These are just pictures of our house families. And keep going there. This is Juju. That's our oldest boy, Loni. He's the one that's going to be going home really soon here. It's just these kind of relationships. And, like, that is exactly what their relationship is. And he loves helping Juju. And Juju, like, she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do without Loni. Like, he's my number one guy, you know. And so we're just so thankful for those relationships that have existed, that bonding that has happened between our house parents and the kids that they care for. So for the children that are adopted and for the ones that end up growing up in Haiti, that they know what that means to connect to somebody. That's a big challenge with lots of children that are adopted, that it's really hard for them sometimes. Doesn't mean that our system is perfect, but we're definitely moving towards that. This is Gudrun, and I thought you guys would like this story because it's a really fun connection for us and for this church, I think. Gudrun is from Ontario, and she just had her 80th birthday on Sunday, and she just spent 2 months with us. She found us in the MSC prayer handbook, and she wrote to me and said, can I come and volunteer at the orphanage? And I said, sure. And then I got her application form and saw that she was 79. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. So Gudrun came along, and this is another part of John's story too. She ended up staying at our house because we had more room and there wasn't really great room at the guest house for her and whatever. So she really kind of took care of John a lot during the day when I was doing clinic and running around and stuff. If I lived to be 80, I would like to be Gudrun, because she, just her love for the Lord and her gumption, as I would always say, she's a good German lady, was just a really neat thing to be a part of, her encouragement, both during and since she's been home too, since just before Christmas she went home. So if any of you are wondering, oh, I don't know if I can go, maybe I'm too old, just think about Gudrun. There's a place for everybody if they want to serve. You can keep going. There's some more pictures of the kids because they're so cute and I have to share them in big screen like this. You can keep going. This is Pastor Nisaj in the red shirt. He's one of our house dads. And he loves gardening, and he is really working with the kids to instill in them a love for gardening and growing things. And so he plants all kinds of things all year round and shows the kids what to do and how to do it and chases the dog when it tries to get through there. So he spends a lot of time doing this. So we grow kind of all different things. We've tried lots of different things. Right now we're growing, like, I don't know, 1,200 banana trees. That's our newest thing that we're doing. And a lot of that is Pastor Nisaj and another one of our yard worker guys that just really keep our land growing and producing for us. So you can flip through here. These are just a few different gardening pictures. This is us harvesting corn. These are actually plantains, but we get bananas like that too. We can keep going through here. There's lots of love and cuteness. This is, I've been really trying to focus on getting the kids out more lately, the last couple of years, into different areas, getting them out of their comfort zones and exposing them more to Haiti. This is a soccer field that was built a couple of years ago. And so one of the boys from the family from Kelowna, he was playing on a pretty high-level soccer team. So we would often go there on Sunday afternoons to watch a game. Or sometimes just go watch practice, and it's just a neat place to be, a really beautiful, well-done place in Haiti. Keep going. So I had mentioned the nutrition program before. The nutrition program started as a way to meet and reach families who came to the orphanage asking to give up their children for adoption, realizing that most families actually didn't want to do that. So we have about 500 kids now in our nutrition program. I would say that there's probably 2,500 that we actually serve through that program, but 500 kids that are actually registered. And so we see all kinds of nutrition issues. Some kind of basic can be intervened pretty quickly and get them back on track really quickly, and some that are quite a bit more severe and take a long time. But this is really the way that we connect in our community. It's a really easy way to connect people and start to build relationships because they come to you. They hear about the program. It works for somebody. They tell their neighbor, and they keep coming. Sometimes people come just to see what they can get, and they roll their eyes at me and tell me that I'm cheap when I say, your child's really healthy and you're doing a really good job, but I'm not giving you a return appointment. And then lots of families that are feeling really lost, really defeated, really scared, and just coming alongside and supporting them and showing them that they are enough and that they can do it. They just need some education and some support. And then, seeing their children change and see the families change is a part of that. And I was mentioning before how the relationship side of being in Haiti is really the number one thing. If you don't have a relationship, you don't have anything. They will nod their head and say yes or shake their head and say no. But if you don't have a relationship, it doesn't go any farther than that. But once they know that they can trust you, that you are investing into them and their child, you don't have any underlying plans for their child or for them, except for the success and health of their child. Just speaking truth into their lives about really practical things. And then we start to challenge the things like, you'll see later, little children with like a string with bones on it or some kind of beads on it, which is very much voodoo, trying to protect their life, trying to ensure another child doesn't get sick too, and start asking them questions like, hey, I see your child still has that bone necklace on, but they're getting fat. Why do you still have that on? And talking about those discussions about fear and why we don't have to fear and who is bigger than our fear. And they know those things, but they don't know them to be real. They know those things in their head, but they don't know them in their heart. And so sometimes I wish that it would be faster and that we could just say, hey, leave this all behind. There's this guy over here that can, like, remove all that stuff in your life. And we do get to that point slowly with some families. But that's what it is about the relationship and about finding the time to be able to do those things. Okay, so these are just a picture. You can go through these, Rebecca. These are a few kids through the nutrition program, different stages of malnutrition, teeny tiny little babies. This is one of the little boys in our HIV program. I do have permission to show this picture from his mom. Their whole family is actually an HIV family that we've been serving in our program. You can keep going. Then we have little chubby success stories. We just see lots of stuff. We keep going. Another little chubby success story. These were not little chubby children. So we'll stop here really quick. So you can see the difference. This is the little bone necklace thing I'm talking about. Also, this is Samuel, and he came to us on July 10th. His mom had died in April, and his dad was really doing his very best to push through with him and feed him whatever he could, but he just wasn't able to meet Samuel's nutritional needs. So Samuel came to us. He was just literally skin and bones starting to get swollen because of protein deficiency. Just a really, really miserable, miserable little boy. But his dad faithfully came every Monday. And every time he came, he had a little bit more hope, and I started to see a bigger toothless grin on his dad every single week. And so this is Samuel now. Well, this is from September 25th, actually, just a couple of months later. And he's doing super well. We're actually hoping to wean him out of the program and put him on month-to-month, just visits to follow up. Part of what we've been doing this last year at HCH2 is trying to find more ways for the orphanage to be more independent. the economy in Alberta and Canada, especially last year, where the majority of our support from really was struggling last year. And so that over time really started to slowly affect our support. And so just trying to find ways that we're in Haiti, we can employ people, also find a way to support the orphanage. So we've delved into a few different things. We're really learning as we go. That's something that we actually need and you guys could be praying for us with, is someone to come along, work with us that has a good business mind, that can, you know, maybe has some French already, because it really involves working in the community and being able to communicate and know what's being said and how it's being said, to really get these businesses to kind of kick off. So one of them is honeybees. We purchased, I forget how many, hundreds of thousands of honeybees this year. This one's been slow to go. I know you guys have probably heard honeybees have been getting sick all over the whole world. Well, our honeybees are no exception. So we've had a couple of guys come in from Alberta and work with our guys to try and get them to health and get rid of some bugs that we're having a lot of problems with. And we're not where we would like to be at this time, but we've had a few big gallons of honey, so that's been fun to be able to see. You can keep going. This is our chicken coop. We have 4 chicken coops. We have 100 chickens, so we have all our own eggs now. It was kind of an experiment to see if we wanted to grow that, to sell eggs. We do sell eggs to our staff, and that kind of covers the cost of buying chicken food for our chickens. But we kind of, for now, we're holding out at 100 chickens. That supplies the orphanage with eggs and also eggs to sell to cover feed. So right now we're sticking with that. This is La Merci, and she has worked at the orphanage for a long time. In the kitchen as a cook for most of that time. But this last year, a lady from Toronto named Emily came, and she's a baker. And she taught La Merci to bake muffins and pizza and scones and bacon jelly and all these things, because this family from Kelowna, they started a small coffee shop and a giftware shop. And so through that, La Merci, they order from the orphanage, and La Merci does all the baking for this coffee shop. And they are right by the hospital, which has lots of expats that come and work through. So that's kind of the community that Tanya, especially, from that couple from Kelowna, has been reaching out to, and that's how she gets them to her shop, is with lots of North American goodies and coffee and things like that. So that's been a neat way that has given La Merci a whole new set of skills, and we always tease her about opening her own bakery because she's really good now, which maybe she'll do someday, and helps to provide a consistent small income for the orphanage as well. We had some teams come through just in December. We had 2 teams come through. We had a team that came through and did sidewalks and was helping to work. We're developing our big, huge classroom that's like as big as this building, or this room, I would say, and split up into rooms so we can actually use it. Because it was kind of this, like, what are we doing with this space? So this is the, just working on the sidewalks. You can kind of go keep going here. This is Charles. Him and his wife are from Grand Prairie, and they've been at HCH 3 times now. They're retired, and Charles is a jack of all trades, but master of all. He is a very gifted man, and can fix anything, do anything. Like, it's amazing to see. And he paints like his painting should be in a gallery. It's just amazing, the giftings that God has given him. Anyway, he's really gotten really connected with some of the older boys at the orphanage, has really invested them into them, teaching them how to use tools and build things and fix things and what size of socket goes on what. And they ask me, hey, Lori, where do I find the 3/4 blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, how do you know that? But they do. And I'm like, and I don't work in the shop, so go ask someone else that does. So this is a family that's come to work alongside of us, too. This is a screen team that came to change the screens on lots of our buildings. They're just stronger screens. They shipped all their stuff in from Alberta, actually, and also to reduce our, oh, man, no-see-em problem that we have every spring. Okay, you can keep going. A lot of you probably heard this. Oh, my time is just ticking away on me. Okay. We had a problem with our water well, And so we had to drill a new well suddenly, just in the at the beginning of December. But God really came through with finances, with finding water. We went from 4 gallons a minute to 45 gallons a minute in one well and 80 gallons a minute in the other well. So we don't have a water problem anymore, which we're so thankful for. Okay, you can keep going. Just some more volunteers and coming through, doing different things. You can keep going, Rebecca. This is work up in the classroom, working to frame rooms. So we'll have a library and 2 classrooms, 3 offices, a boardroom, and a computer room to kind of meeting the needs of our growing and evolving group of kids. Yep, you can keep going. Well, that's how people sleep in my house. That's my husband and Tobias. I don't really know how they sleep, but they do. That's Rose Lisa. You can keep going. This is Beth. She's one of our volunteers from the States. She's our only American rep. Now, when I went, I was the only Canadian, and now we're all Canadians. She's the only American girl spending time with us. You could pray for her, actually, and her dad. Her dad's been really quite sick over the last couple of years, and this week he fell off of a barn. So Beth's really struggling about where she should be right now. So if you could pray for Beth, if you think about that. She works in the baby house and really is a big part of their lives there. Okay, you can keep going. This is Kim. Most of you guys all know Kim. Kim DeYoung, she grew up here, went to church here. She sent me the most lovely email in the entire world that said, can I come and teach your kids for the whole year? And so she's come, and she's been with us in September. She came back just before us for a little break in December, and she'll be flying back with us on Tuesday. So she's been a really big part of our lives already. She invests into the kids and loves them and plays them and loves them, and they know that. And so they just connected to her really quickly, and she's just been such a fun person to have around for the kids. You can keep going. Yeah. Okay, this is Emily. She's the girl from Ontario that taught Lamercy how to bake, and she's actually the one taking care of my kids for these 3 weeks. Most of the time, she's the one that said, Lori, I'm here. You're going to a wedding. You're already going to be there. Take a break. She told me that about 5 times. And then till she said, did you book? Did you book? Did you book? Did you book? So this is Emily. She just, over the last probably 5 years, has just become a big part of HCH. I'm hoping that she'll make it a permanent thing. She kind of comes and goes for about 8 months and then goes home for 4 months and comes back. But we're just so thankful. Like I said, God has just been sending a really neat group of people who keep coming and are getting more connected and really help to do what we do a lot better. Okay, you can keep going. This is Shama. This is her teacher. Shama had never really been to school before. And so Shama learned to read over the summer. And because of her age, we knew that if we put her in school, she would be severely ridiculed because she'd have to be in grade 1. So we hired a tutor for her. So this is Sarah Danielle. So she works with Shama every morning for about 4 hours. And they're just booting along. We're working on grade 3 already. So we're pretty excited to see that for Shama and just to see her confidence building too. Okay. Just cute people in our yard. Even when days are really bad, you catch this kind of stuff and then you just are much happier. Okay. Little baby in our nutrition program. Cute, chunky twins. These were our really, really sick twins. I think I told you about probably 2 years ago. They're not so sick and small anymore. Okay, you can keep going. Yeah, keep going. Yep, keep going until I say stop. You're good. Mango season. This is Sadrek on the left there, or I guess right, in the blue shirt, and this is his cousin. And mangoes are a really big part of Haiti, and they're so delicious, and we have too many trees in our yard and too many forever ruined shirts in our yard. But this picture, it just makes me laugh every time because they ate 25 mangoes in one sitting. And they're not like this big. They're like this big. So we were all laughing and counting, and it was just this big joke. You can keep going. Everybody gets in on it, though. We have lots of vitamin C for those months. These are the kids. We work closely with a school nearby, and there was a team coming, so they called us up and said, hey, do you have any kids who want to come help paint? So I'm not sure how much the wall got painted, but we got painted. But we just love to find different ways for the kids to also invest into our community, and especially our older kids, find ways to get them participating in what we're doing. So if it's going to help with a school to paint or A few of the older girls prepared like Christmas ornament stuff for the nutrition program kids so they could come through the program on the last day and do a little ornament, which was really fun to watch because the moms and dads of the kids actually had way more fun than the kids. They were all about the glitter and the glue and the markers, and yeah, it was just a fun time. Okay, you can keep going. These cute little boys dressed up for church. This is one of our nannies at the baby house. Like I said before, one of our goals was to just really work on children bonding with their caregivers, really decreasing any changeover in our staff. And we've really seen a huge change in that and are really excited to hear that feedback now from families who have children who are going home just recently. Our older boys, all of the boys that are 8 and older, they're all quite bilingual. And this summer we had a bit of a reading competition, like a summer reading program, kind of like at the library, I guess. And part of that program was that they had to read to the other kids. So we had fun catching them doing things like this. And they're all reading in English to the kids as part of that. This is one of our families. We had 3 kids go home so far in 2016 after 3 years of nobody going home to families because of lots of red tape and not anything happening, corruption, you name it. But we had 3 kids go home, and we have 2 going home next week as well. So we're excited to see those things catching up a little bit now. My mom there, she's coming down again with us too, and we fly down on Tuesday. So it's really neat to be able to have her be a regular part of our lives down there and get to meet the 3 new kids this year too. So there'll be a bigger picture next time too. So this is another picture of our family. I'm going to just wrap it up here, but what I had kind of mentioned at the beginning was that trying to figure out, like God's plans for these children and what our role should be in that. So kind of in the next couple of months, our big goal is to obtain legal guardianship of these kids at the highest level. So there's different levels of guardianship in Haiti. This is like the social services level of guardianship. So it requires us to go through quite a few hoops, do some challenging things, get their mom to be on board with some of the paperwork that we have to do, which we're not always sure how that's going to go. And so if you could be praying with us as we seek to do those things, seek to find trustworthy people to do those things for us. I don't know, some of you I know read my newsletter. If you didn't, let me know and I'll get you on my email list. It's also hanging at the back there. I have really seen so many times God's plan for our family in Haiti on so many occasions. And this year was 10 years in Haiti for me, I guess this past August, which sometimes it feels like 10 years. And sometimes it feels like I just got there yesterday and walked off the plane, and it was so fresh. But in the last 6 months, it just really has made me be in awe of God's plan on a whole different level. I never, ever, ever in a million years would have seen our family growing as it did. I couldn't have planned it. I couldn't have thought about it. Like, maybe if we talked about adopting, did we talk about 3? Did we talk about 4? No. But seeing God's plan in that, and that often when, you know, we have so many unknowns at the orphanage, so many unknowns in our family, so many unknowns for the future, that God does know those things. Habakkuk 2 verse 3 has been a verse that I've always liked a lot. And I'll just read it for you here. It says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it, it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." And just thinking about the story in Habakkuk and thinking about what God was doing at that time, and looking at our lives and our family and seeing what God has been doing, what God has been preparing us for, without us having any clue. And I like how at the end of that verse it says, it will not tarry. So even when we don't think it's coming, we don't see it coming, we think, oh, this is taking forever, whatever it is, it's actually not. Because it's in God's timing, and it's coming exactly as he sees fit. So with our struggles in the last few years, waiting for Nidalee, It's paperwork, trying to get those things working out, feeling like this is not happening. And we still don't know for sure. We're still working and waiting and praying. But for sure have had the thought run through our heads that maybe the reason we couldn't do one adoption was because we were supposed to be doing four. Which is a big thing to wrap my brain around still. And I don't know. I'm, you know, at the same time as we're praying that, we're also praying for restoration for their mom. For their mom to come to know Jesus. Yeah, so it's like with the storm thing, right? Praying for one thing while also praying for something else. And wondering what God's plan will be in there and what he will show to us. Anyway, thank you for being here and listening to what I had to say today. Thank you for praying for us, supporting Kim. That's been a really big part of our year this year. Please continue to pray for us. We really need your prayer on lots of levels. I feel like so much more for our family personally than for the orphanage right now. I think because it's so much so fresh and it's always developing, and it's always like that with the orphanage, but it hasn't been like that so much in our home before. And so it's been a real joy to have our family change and grow this way, and I love seeing these siblings together again and to be able to be a part of that. But it can be super hard, and in a position like I am where I'm pulled in lots of directions all the time, it's hard for me to find the time that I need, and then I feel like I'm not doing maybe anything right some days, and that's a hard place to be too. But God's faithfulness, like I said, in the people that he has sent, in the timing of things, has just shown me his care for me as a person, as an individual, and his care for my family, and ultimately his care for the orphanage, for the people in Haiti that he loves. If you don't have one of these already, I still have a whole bunch at the back. Yes, they're a little expired. They're missing some people. You can draw some extra faces in. We'll have some new ones coming out this year, too, which you can grab. But if you don't already have one, just grab one. Just put us on the fridge and just or wherever you put those kinds of things. Just to help remember to pray for us, because we just really covet your prayers. We really need them. We've never done this on our own, and we can't do it on our own. We need people like you, and we need God's presence and God's, just that those little voices in God's ears all the time on our behalf. So, yes, thank you very much. Yeah, continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for HCH and just God's plan for Haiti, too, overall. Thank you.
I'd like to invite the elders to come, and we're going to pray for Lori. Now, again, we're during lunch here and afterwards, we'd like to encourage you to take time to talk to Lori. I'm sure within every one of her stories is a lot of details and a lot of needs, a lot of opportunities to partner together. So we would like to pray. So stand together with us as we just pray for Lori.
Father, we thank you for being able to connect again to Haiti, and we can sure see so many things happening in the country, in the orphanage, in Sadrach and Lori's own home, and Lord, that verse from Habakkuk is sure true. Lord, we just pray that you would give them strength and vision, and Lord, all the things that they need to grow and expand the work that you have planned, and Lord, that you'd give them wisdom in leading these young people, these contacts, so many hundreds, Lord, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we know that you are the answer, Lord. And so we pray the overflowing energy of your Holy Spirit to give them the confidence and wisdom that they need. And Lord, we just lift them up before your throne of grace and mercy, Lord. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Good. Father God, I just thank you for Lori and for her willingness to love, to serve, to give, to celebrate, to represent, to share. And Lord, it comes to my mind that in Lori's life and in her family and in every picture of every little boy and girl, every house parent that we saw this morning, Lord, in every one of those lives is a story, is, Lord, a person made in the image of God. Every one of those children, Lord, potential, fused with the love of God, the truth, with love, encouragement. And so, Lord, I pray for Lori that is in just a couple of days here, Lord, she's back into a very different climate than what we're experiencing here, yet, Lord, still in the places of opportunity to love, to serve, and to give. So, Lord, we just pray your blessing on her. Lord, she asked us to pray for Beth and Beth's situation with her father and her situation in the States. Give her and her family wisdom as to where Beth should be right now as well. But Lord, ultimately, our life is in your hands, and the story continues to be written as we let you have your way. Amen.
Father in heaven, I think of comments that were made this week about countries like Haiti, and I just pray that by your power you would humiliate that attitude and use Lori and Haiti's Children's Home to raise up young men and women who are transformed by the gospel and who can lead their country for the good and for God, and even come over to our continent here and lead us back to God. Father, I just pray that, or I just recognize that we're in a warfare. And I just see Haiti's Children's Home as a place where your kingdom is advancing and a place from which it will advance. And I just pray your protection over Lori and her family and that place, and pray your blessing that you would use it to build your kingdom in Haiti, and here in North America and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing one more song this morning. As I was sitting, listening to Lori's story, I got thinking, okay, how many of us here, this week, all of a sudden, you became responsible for four more people? Responsible for...